my hair up. You know, when I looked at the mirror, I looked like my mom. I go, oh, that's not good. And so they tried to fix it, and it wasn't good. So I came home, and I got the shaver out, and it slipped. It went straight up. And then I made more mistake, and got shorter and shorter and shorter. And so I'm mourning my hair right now. And so it's going to take another 6 months to 8 months to grow my hair back. Anyway, a lot of people are missing. I guess snow. But again, this is a new year. And for the new year, the title of the sermon is Make Room for the New. Okay, make room for the new. And the passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And God's people said, now say to your neighbor, in Christ, you are a new creation. Okay? Today, the sermon is a reminder that you are a new creation. Right? As a Christian, we need to be reminded, because in this broken world, it is easy to forget who we are in Christ. It's easy to forget who we are in Christ. And, you know, my children told me that in school, some of the children, I was shocked, but they call themselves furries, right? Furries. They believe they're a cat or something, you know, or an animal. And again, I release in the children all creativity, okay? Be different, be unique. I love that, okay? Be different and push the boundary in creativity. Okay? Push the boundary in creativity. This is what God calls you to do. But identity is different. Okay? Identity is different. Okay? You see, to know who you are, you don't look down at the animals. You have to look up at God. And the Bible says you are created in God's image and his likeness. Amen. And so, you know, our identity in Christ defines what we do, not the other way around. And as I was thinking about the furries, you know, furries, you know, there's this story that I told long time ago. This cunning fox tricked this young and happy-go-lucky dog. Okay? The fox tricked this dog into thinking it was a cat. Thinking it was a cat. And this dog thought, oh, I'm a cat. And then this fox started lying to the dog. What's wrong with you? You're such a bad cat. You make a terrible cat. You are a worthless cat. So this once happy dog tried to be a good cat. Right? Tried to meow. Couldn't do it. Attempted to climb a tree. Couldn't do it. Ate cat food every day and didn't like it at all. Every day he hated it. And so this dog, no matter how hard he tried to be a good cat, could not do it. And over time, became depressed and hopeless. Why? Why? Because the dog believed in a lie. Okay? Believed in a lie. The Bible says, in Christ, you are a new creation. Okay? Meaning, there's a new birth. There's a new birth. And John chapter 3, verse 3 says this. Jesus replied, he's talking to Nicodemus, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus did not understand. Okay, in John chapter 3, he asked Jesus, how can I be born again? How can this be? How can someone be born when they are old? How can someone enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born again? And so, see, he didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Being born again is not about, you know, he's not talking about physical, okay? It's not about waiting to go to heaven. It's not based on work or performance-based religion. It's not about powerless and weak Christianity, okay? It is what Jesus was talking about is a new beginning. You have a new nature. It's a new life. And how do you have this new life? You have a new identity. And what's this identity? Jesus tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 14 to 18. Just as Moses lit up the snake in the wilderness, God's people, you know, was bitten by, you know, were dying. And when Moses lifted up the snake, they were healed. Those who looked upon the staff were healed. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that anyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And here's the famous verse, you know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. And God's people said. See, being born again, it is not religion. Being born again is through Jesus. Okay? Religious work and human righteousness does not save you. Jesus saves you. Religious standard, trying to follow religious standards, leads to condemnation. Jesus died for you to take away condemnation, not to live in it. Now, the Bible says, you and I, we're sinners, okay? We're sinners. And this is the truth about our human nature, our fallen human nature. We're sinners. But sin isn't our identity for Christians. Did you guys hear that? Sin is not our identity. Sin is a fallen state, but Jesus is our salvation and redemption. Sin should show everyone what sin's supposed to do. Okay, we're sinners, and we see that, but sin, what it does, for those who know the Bible, desperately, they see that they desperately need a Messiah. Sin points to this greater truth. Okay? Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. You know, and this, a lot of people know this verse, and people take this one verse and make it into this theology of sin. This verse was not so that we focus on sin. Some churches do this, sin, you know. They point out what's wrong with you, you got to work harder, and, you know. But this verse is to point to a greater truth. Okay? And this is what the Bible is trying to do, that we need Jesus Christ. We focus on sin so that we see that we need Jesus Christ. A lot of people focus on this verse, but they don't read verse 22. They don't read verse 24. Okay? There's two verses that cover Romans 3:23. Let's read that. Romans 3:22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believes. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And verse 24, though, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. There's this greater truth than the doctrine of sin. For those who put their faith in Jesus were completely forgiven. Okay. We have God's righteousness. We have God in us. We have the Holy Spirit power moving in us. We have new life. We are a new creation. We have a whole new beginning. We have the kingdom of God in us. Okay. So Ezekiel 36 verse 26 says this. I shall give you a lot of instruction. It doesn't say that. I shall give you lists of what you should do and what you should not do. No, it doesn't say that. How do you have this new life? This is the only way. It says, I shall give you a new heart. Okay? I shall give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And this is the gospel message. You see, Ezekiel 37 is great prophetic picture of being born again. Okay? In Ezekiel 37, it's this prophetic picture. There's this valley of dry bone. There's death. Okay? And then the Spirit of the living God moves among the valley of dry bone and starts to rattle. And you see the rattling of the dry bones and the raising of the dead. I cannot raise the dead. It's Jesus who raises the dead. Because of Jesus, we have new life. You become a new creation in Christ. The living dead comes to life. And those who put their faith in Jesus, again, not self-righteousness, not legalism, not ritual, not politics in church. But those who put their faith in Jesus, not position in the church. It's not the platform. It's not the gifting. Those who put their faith in Jesus, this is what we have to, this is what God says, this is what the Bible says. But instead of embracing what God says, he says, I will give you. No, what do I need to do, God? How hard do I need to work? What do I need to perform? He says he'll give you a new heart. The cycle of sin stops. Relationships are restored. There's a heart transformation. We have God's holiness. There's real compassion and love, not guilt. So many people do things out of guilt. It looks like love, but it's not really love. There's real love and compassion. We'll start to see miracles, healing. There's deliverance. And you know what the Bible says? Those who are born again, we have the power to disciple nations. I thought I would hear an amen to that. I thought it was powerful. Anyway, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And this is God's heart for you. This is God's heart for you. You know, some of us grew up, people told you, God is so angry with you. It's a lie. Okay? He is upset with you. It's a lie. This is what God says. This is his heart for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Right? You know, everyone can believe God is working when good things are happening. And in Catalyst, I don't want to believe, because in this small view of God, but even when bad things are happening in your life, I am asking you to believe in a great and awesome God without limitation. See, many of us hear this old issues are being stirred up. I go through that. I'm 59 years old. I still go through old issues being stirred up. Many here are tired and weary. You're going through intense spiritual battle. And when you are being hit with those things, some choose to worry a lot. But Matthew 6:30 says, if you worry a lot, you have little faith. Okay? What does it mean? When you worry a lot, you're living as though God does not exist. Okay? You're living as though God does not exist. Some choose to live in fear. And what fear does, what I see when there's fear, I build up walls in my heart when there's fear. Fear makes us run away from God. Makes us run away from God's will, his purpose, and calling for our life. But a lot of us here, you know what we do? We choose to cover all our issues with a busy life. Okay? With busy life. And when you try to cover your issues with busy life, you're operating out of pressure, not presence. Life becomes about competition and performance. It becomes acceptance from people. You're more concerned about being accepted by others than God's acceptance. Okay? When you are focused so much on being accepted by people around you, you have more burden, more weight. You feel like you're not good enough. And you're not focusing on God's acceptance. When he says, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. And as we begin this new year, that's my challenge. Make room for the new. Right? Make room for the new. And how do we do that? You got to take a good look at your heart. Take a good look at your life. Look at your habits, your thoughts. You know, the things that your mind gravitates toward. Look at your emotion. Look at the different judgments that you have in your heart, different belief system, your motive, how you handle your finances, the secrets, the closets that's in your life, the relationship that you have. And to make room for the new, okay, this is going to be hard. Don't blame shift. Okay? Don't blame shift. Just look at your inside, what's going on inside. Okay, you know, somebody, you know, rejected you. Now there's, you know, brokenness in your heart. Well, yes, you could, it was that person's fault. But there's still brokenness in your heart. So don't blame. But focus on what's going on inside of you. Be self-aware. That's what I'm challenging you to do. Be self-aware. Ask God to search your heart, even the hidden things of your heart. Look intently into the spiritual mirror. In the book of James, it says you look into the mirror and you walk away and you forget how you look, what you look like. Don't do that. Look intently in the spiritual mirror and look at your life and ask, are there areas in my life I need to make adjustment? Okay? Are there, in other words, are there area in my life I need to make room for the new work of God? Yeah, I need to make room for the new work of God. There are things in your life that's hurting you, things in your life that's making you stumble, that stops you from growing spiritually. Instead of holding on to those things that's hurting you, let's focus together. Let us make room for the new work of God. You know, and I feel this is what our church is going through. You know, you feel overwhelmed, overworked. You're being pulled in many different directions. You're spiritually being hit on many fronts. Some are carrying hurt, deep rejection, abandonment. Some are carrying shame. Some are carrying guilt. There's personal undealt sin and weakness. There are lies, right? Wrong imaginations. We're fighting the wrong battle. Many of us are scared, stressed out, and some here are burnt out. Brothers and sisters, aren't you tired of the same pattern of dysfunction? See, some of you need to. You see, when you're tired of something, you want to change. When you're tired of something, it's there to want to change. But some of us, we just become more tired of it, until the devil steals everything from us. Don't go that far. Aren't you tired of the same pattern of dysfunction? Tired of the stronghold in your life? Aren't you tired of being bitter? You know, when somebody's very bitter, I go, wow, that's so tiring. You know, did you ever see somebody who's really always angry, bitter? Wow, that drains. I've been bitter. I've been angry. It drains everything out of you. Aren't you tired of being angry and bitter? Tired of losing the spiritual battle? As a disciple of Jesus Christ, aren't you tired of being distant from God? Further you go away from God, more stuck, more bondage, more trouble, more miserable you will be. Instead, let us start this new year by making room for the new work of God. The further I get away from God, the more trouble I'm going to have in my life. The closer I get to God, the more my life is going to be transformed. You know, Paul, Apostle Paul, think about this, you know. When I think about radical transformation in somebody's life, it's Apostle Paul. Because before he met Jesus, he was a legalist who put Christians in prison and who put Christians to death. But when he finally had an encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, Paul was radically transformed. From Pharisee of Pharisee to an apostle. From persecuting the Christian to be used to plant churches throughout the Roman world. It is time like this, we need to believe in an infinite, powerful, loving God. We need a powerful encounter with God, an encounter that will transform our life. The Bible says, we all like sheep have gone astray. It says, we all like sheep. This is our tendency in our fallen nature. We want to go astray. Right? A sheep tends to wander off. But proclaim, for this new year, 2024, I'm not going to be a wandering sheep. Proclaim that. But instead, for 2024, in Christ, I am a new creation. Okay? Say that to your neighbor. In Christ. And God's people said, okay, worship team. Ushers, if you could come and prepare the church.